You're listening to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears, impacting marriages that leave a lasting legacy. Hey there. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Marriage Minute this morning. We are continuing our series of how our unmet expectations trigger us. But first, I just want to thank you all for joining me today. Pastor Richard is out today, and I guess we'll be out the next few weeks because him and Evangelist Dan are heading to Kenya. So we would appreciate all of your prayers and thank you for your prayers and support for that as they go and pillage hell to populate heaven. So thank you for joining me today. If you didn't get a chance last week, well, actually last week we had a power outage. So the week before that, we talked about how our unmet expectations trigger us. And the two that we talked about previously were our unconscious expectations and our unrealistic. And if you didn't get a chance to check that out, you're going to want to do that because today is a continuation of what Pastor Richard and I shared a couple weeks ago. Unconscious, obviously, expectations are ones you don't even know about. They're the ones that you bring into your marriage. You have no idea where they came from. You're not even aware of them yourself until, you know, Holy Spirit taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, you need to look at this. Unrealistic are expectations that they're not even yourself can even be expected to fulfill those. So unconscious and unrealistic. We talked about this week. I'm just going to jump in here. This week, we're talking about the last two expectations that there's three and four. We're going to talk about those here in a second. But what we like to do is define expectation because I think a lot of discourse and a lot of friction in marriages come from the expectations that we put on our spouse. And really, even in friendships and relationships and in family, there's just so many expectations that we throw out there for people. We don't even realize it a lot of the time. You know, you have an interaction with somebody and you leave that conversation and you're just like, what just happened? Or I just don't feel good about that conversation. I'm not quite sure. A lot of that stems in an expectation of maybe what you thought that the outcome of that conversation would be. And so a lot of things, a lot of tension, a lot of conflict, a lot of rubbing in relationships can be avoided if we really understand, like, what is our, you're only responsible for yourself, amen? So what is our responsibility in coming into a conversation? What am I expecting the outcome of this to be? And how will I handle it if that isn't how the outcome of the conversation happens? So obviously we're talking about marriages, but all of these principles apply to any relationship, your children's relationship, your grandkids, your friends, anybody out there. So an expectation, as we defined a couple weeks ago, is a strong belief that something will happen or will be the case in the future, whether it's 30 seconds from now, 2 seconds from now, next week, or whatever. So you are entering into an expectation, into a realm in your mind, in your heart, that this certain thing is going to happen. And it's a very strong belief that it will happen. That's because it's an expectation. So that is very important to understand what the definition of an expectation is. But as I discussed a few seconds ago, we're going to jump into the number three and number four reasons why your unmet expectations are triggering you. And I just want to touch just for a moment on your triggers. So unmet expectations obviously is a trigger, a big trigger. And what I want you to maybe try to spend some time with the Lord and say, how do I respond? Like for me, back in the day, I responded out of anger and I shut down and I just put the wall up. So I would get triggered, but it's not necessarily that you're getting triggered. I mean, that's an issue as well to understand why you're getting triggered, but it's how you respond once you are triggered can be unholy and not pure, I guess I just want to say, because there are definitely ways some people they cry, or some people get sad, or some people feel rejected or abandoned. You know, there's a lot of people out there, and you see posts on Facebook out there where they say, hey, it's really okay if we disagree about this, this, and this. It doesn't mean that we don't love you. It doesn't mean that we can't be friends. It doesn't mean that we can't have a life together. And that's very important. And today, I think that there is just an overwhelming, like, if you don't agree with me 100% on how I think, da, 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 or this should happen in these three steps, then that means that, okay, we can't be friends, or we can't hang out, or we can't do this. And that's just unhealthy. It's super unhealthy, because we need, you know, the hand, we need the eyes, we need the arms, we need the legs, we need everyone in the body to come together and to work for the good of the Lord. Amen. And so when we do that, when we're able to come together and we're able to function in harmony and in unity, that glorifies God. And that's what he wants. He wants his children to glorify him, to give him praise, and to be an example and a witness to him on this earth while we're still here before Jesus' return. So here's number three. Number three on, what's going on there? Oops, sorry. Number three is unspoken expectations. Unspoken expectations can trigger you, just like all of them can. But unspoken expectations, they're not unconscious and they're not unrealistic. So there's a danger with unspoken expectations. This one for me probably would be number one, because they're like this invisible rule book, right? So some people call unspoken expectations premeditated resentments. So what that means is when those unfulfilled or unspoken expectations involves the failure of the other person to behave the way that you expect them to, the disappointment and discouragement results in resentment and ultimately judgment. So what happens is you know exactly what this expectation is, but you haven't spoken it to your spouse. And so it's almost like you're just kind of sitting back and you're just waiting. You're just waiting for this event to happen, because you're going to nab him and you're going to tell him or her, you know, I knew you weren't going to do that. I knew. So that's premeditated. That's manipulation. That is the things that we don't want to do, the things of God that we don't want to do. It's that unspoken rule book. And that was big for me. I had a lot of unspoken expectations, I would say. Richard probably did too. And I'll share some of ours here briefly. I think the biggest thing, number one, we didn't even know about expectations. I didn't know that's why I was operating the way I was, or that even was a thing back when we first got married and had kids and whatnot. But, you know, that was something that was huge for us. The biggest thing is we never communicated. And if you were sitting right here, we'd chuckle about it, because we just didn't. When I say we didn't communicate, literally, we did not communicate about anything. Honestly, I look back, I don't remember a ton. You know, it's interesting how we always remember the negative and not the positive. But I don't remember a whole lot. Maybe that's God protecting me. But anyway, so unspoken expectation is, you know, we would have. So my mom and dad lived close, and we lived in the same town that they did for a few years when we got married. And the expectation, it's unspoken, but it's something that I was expecting to do. And if Richard would, you know, dig his feet in or say, no, I don't want to go, or we've got something to do on this day, then that would cause major issues. And what that was family dinners. Every Sunday, we were expected to go out to mom and dad's. I say expected. I don't know if that's something that they put upon us, or that I feel like it was an expectation from them. So, you know, like here, generation, you're having these expectations to deal with them. So I'm feeling the pressure, you know, that we need to get out to mom and dad's because it's Sunday dinner, and what are we going to bring? And, you know, it's Sunday. He's worked all week, and we at that point we didn't go to church or anything like that. So Sunday was the day that we just kind of hung out in his mind, because that's what he did, obviously, with his family. So they went to church occasionally. So I don't want to say they never did, same as us, but it definitely wasn't an every Sunday thing. And so I knew, you know, the tension would just start as soon as Saturday rolled around, the weekend rolled around. You know, I would have, you know, obviously, let's just back this up. Friday night's coming. You know, I had an expectation of what we were going to do Friday night, Saturday evening, Sunday evening. I had the weekend all planned out, but I never shared that with my husband. And he had his thought of what the weekend would look like. He never shared that with me. So as you can see, Friday evening when I'm like, oh, let's order pizza and get a movie. He's like, oh, I thought we were going to go over here. We just didn't communicate. Communication is key. Communicate with your spouse. I wish we'd have known all this stuff way back when, but we didn't. And so we can't live in regret. We just have to have, you know, grace towards our past, towards each other, towards ourselves, and learn and grow from that. So that was my big unspoken expectation that caused resentment and bitterness in my heart towards my husband because he wasn't doing what I expected him to do. Do you see how that kind of plays out? Like, I'm not getting my way. Not that I thought about it that way, but that's actually what it was. I'm not getting my way because he's not saying, oh, yep, let me get my shoes. We'll jump in the car and go. And so then there's the rub, there's the conflict. It happens, you know, in front of the kids and everything just goes to pot and it's just bad. So an unspoken expectation that Richard had towards me, this is something that he saw his mom do, right? And so he had an expectation that I would get up with the kids when they were babies. He never had to lift a finger. He never had to do that. We've talked about in our marriage minute how, you know, the way that what we experience growing up affects how we do things. These are all those expectations that we're talking about, the unconscious expectations and unrealistic. And, you know, so he was thinking, he had the expectation, and I fell right into it, that I would be the one that would always get up with babies. And I did. But I can tell you right now, if there was a time when I would nudge him, I swear he like pretended to be asleep and not hear me or whatever. Most of the time, he would be upset. He would be irritated in the morning that he had to get up at 3 a.m. and help with one of the babies. And so, he knew, you know, it's not like he wasn't aware of that. He knew that, but it was unspoken. We never talked about it. I just knew by the way that he behaved and acted and responded to me, whether it was verbal or nonverbal, that I was the one responsible for this. And I worked, you know, when our first was born, I worked as well. And, you know, obviously I was an independent and still am an independent person. But back then, you know, apparently I still hated conflict because I didn't want to, you know, press his buttons or trigger him in any way. So yeah, I was pretty exhausted, obviously, most of the time, which most people are. But other examples, you know, of unspoken expectations, and this is a big one. My husband, Pastor Richard, and I, we do premarital counseling with couples, obviously. And a lot of these, we go through tons of expectations. We cover expectations with them, front and back, up and down, every which way, because you know, unmet expectations they're just maybe one of the top three issues that people have in marriage, not just newlyweds, but you know, seasoned marriages as well. It's one of those things that you don't know what you don't know, right? You don't know that they're even a thing until somebody brings it to light. And so other examples are money management. You know, how many children are you going to have? You know, these are things that I know I had an expectation entering into our marriage of, you know, when we were going to start our family and how many we were going to have. And I never discussed that with Richard and he never pressed me on it. And so that's kind of how we operated. And we just kind of harbored our resentment and bitterness towards each other. And it would come out in other ways. And so you can see how it's just communication is huge and it's just unhealthy. you know, to harbor these resentments and bitterness, because that's what's going to happen in your heart if you're not coming forth with, hey, I get it. I didn't speak this to you, and we didn't, we'll talk about the next one here in a minute, and we didn't agree upon everything. How can we come to some middle ground here? And that's really what it's about, is coming to a middle ground. And I'll talk more about that next week on how we can walk and navigate these expectations that just can kind of like explode literally at any time. It's like a ticking time bomb, right? So for example, some time ago, there were just things that were building up in me. And I didn't want to mention it to Richard because he was so busy. And I didn't want to be the one to just like ask one more thing of him. And things were just happening. And the very smallest of things happened. And I literally blew a gasket. And so it wasn't, you know, as I'm sharing with him quite verbally, my frustration, and as I'm hearing myself speak about this one thing that caused, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back, it was so ridiculous. And I literally just looked at him like, this is so not what I'm upset about. Help me to understand what's going on here. And so that's the kind of cool thing where we've gotten to, or the Lord has brought us to. You know, we communicate. If you're wrong, you're wrong, you know, and sometimes, you know, God will allow you to share something that's bothering you and allow you to hear this, the silliness of it. And so I was just so thankful for that. It was kind of a funny moment for us in a situation that was quite tense. So how many children, other examples of unspoken, we're talking about unspoken expectations, where to spend the holidays, you know, who does the cleaning, who keeps the cars up, who does the lawn, you know, boundaries with in-laws and friends, like all of these are so important to have conversations about, because whether you realize it or not, and hopefully, you know, with the last episode and this one, that I'm triggering somebody, I'm helping them to understand, helping you to understand, unmet expectations are a big source of your unhappiness, a big source of the tension in your marriage. And I really just pray that you're grabbing this, you're catching on to it. If for some reason you need more info, please email Pastor Richard Knight at marriageminute@revivalnow.com. We would love to talk with you about it. So the Bible says, I want to share a scripture for you guys. It's a scripture that you're used to hearing. Let's see if this is going to, okay. So it's Proverbs 18:21. You guys probably know what that is. If you don't, I'm going to share it with you. It's death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I looked it up in the Amplified. Let me see here. And it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. What am I trying to say? Your words matter. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. How you respond when you're triggered matters. It's going to leave a mark regardless how you don't respond. So if you are one that does this whole silent treatment, or, you know, you're like, I just can't say anything because I'm just so upset. Okay, that's a lot of baloney a lot of the time. That is just you not willing to humble yourself and enter into a difficult conversation with your spouse. So I want to call myself out. I want to call Pastor Richard out. You know, we used to do this. You know, the silent treatment triggers me. It's not as much as it used to be, but and he didn't know that. That's another thing that he didn't know about me, that, you know, he would just go dark, if you will. And that was very hurtful for me. So what I'm trying to say is, what you do say matters. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So you can create life by what you speak, and you can create death by what you speak. And I'm hoping you guys get that analogy there, because it's huge. It's definitely something we need to be careful of, because you can bring, not just with your spouse, but, you know, your kids. This is huge, huge with your kids. You know, it matters what you say. It matters the tone that you have. it matters. Are you building them up or are you tearing them down? I wasn't so great at building my children up. And that is a big regret that I have. And you know, the Lord is working with me on that and not allowing the devil to keep attacking me with that thing, because I can't change it. But what I can do moving forward is be better about the words that I speak to my children, to my spouse, to my friends, to everybody that I know. So unspoken expectations, you know what they are. If you don't, then hopefully now you will, because, you know, that's those things where, you know, you're expecting somebody to do something. And quite frankly, in every situation, in every conversation, in everything that we do, there's always an expectation. And I realize for me, you know, this is something I realized some time ago, is that when the expectation is there and it's unmet, then there's judgment, and there's only one judge, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that he is the one that is judge and jury, right? God's the one that does that, not me. And so that is a constant reminder for myself, you know, what am I expecting? Why do I feel, disregarded or dismissed or, rejected or angry? You know, if you're having feelings and emotions, that you're unsure of why and where, you know, explore that with God. Take a minute and explore that. He's going to reveal it to you. And that's the awesome thing about God. He loves you, and he wants you to have success in your life, success in your marriage. He wants you to be able to communicate intelligently, effectively, maturely. And he wants you to be able to be humbled and understand that when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And so, you know, God is just so good in bringing about every bit of that for you. So the fourth and final unmet expectation that could be triggering you, and this is a big one too, I think they're all big, is the unagreed upon expectation. What does that look like? So you share an expectation with your spouse. Richard, I need you to take the trash out every Tuesday. Okay. And because you do, you assume it will be met. We didn't have a conversation about it. He didn't answer me. Or he might have like nodded his head or been like, well, you know, he didn't answer me. But the problem with making that assumption, so I'm assuming, right? And we all know when we assume that there may not have been enough or any discussion to come to an agreement, but I don't know that right now, right? I'm assuming come Tuesday, the trash is going to be taken out. Well, then Tuesday comes and goes, and Tuesday when I'm going to bed, I'm like, well, I guess I need to get the trash out. Well, I don't just say that with joy in my heart, now do I? No, I don't. I say that I'm angry, I'm passing judgment, I am bitter, and he's clueless, because I could have said it when I walked behind him and he was working on something, and he may have grunted because he heard me, but we certainly didn't talk about it. You know, some examples from our life, you know, for me, it was the frequency of intimacy. You know, it was, for me, physical touch always meant we were going to have sex. And so you get kind of, I know a lot of women get that way because, you know, where we want to be with our husband, we want to be intimate. There's so much going on in our mind and in our lives that we can't just close the box, right? And we've done a whole few episodes on that. But for Richard, he had this unspoken expectation that our frequency would be da 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 da. And for me, we never talked about it, right? So I certainly didn't know everything that I know now about marriage and submission and my body is his and his is mine and all of that. And the way that God, you know, ordained marriage and created male and female for marriage. But we didn't talk about it. And so for me, every time he would pass by me and touch me on the shoulder meant, oh dear, you know, I've got to, where's this going? And there was just no discussion about it. From him towards me, growing up, his mom always handled the finances. And so that was an unspoken expectation he had towards me, that I would just do that. Well, I'm horrible at handling finances. I would just give it away or whatever. You know, I don't look at money the way that I needed to in order to run the household the way that we needed. But I did it because he didn't. And so Richard, being the youngest, you know, he's talked about that, you know, he would just wait until things got done for him. Whereas I'm like middle child, but operate as an oldest child, if you will, and just get things done, check it off the list and whatnot. So, you know, his assumption or his unspoken expectation to me, so he knew it, right? He knew it. Well, Donna's going to do the finances because that's what mom did and that's just how it is. But we never talked about it. So you can see how unspoken expectations, whether it's as simple as taking the trash out, who's cleaning the house, who's doing the laundry, to as big as the finances for your home, if you don't agree upon who's doing what, all of that can fall through the cracks and have its have consequences of their own. And also, it just starts breaking down your intimacy, your connection with your spouse. It breaks down your respect and love for one another. It just has so many negative consequences that can be avoided if you know what you're dealing with. So, you know, we needed to, and we did, sit down and talk about, and it may seem tedious at first, but we want to communicate, right? We sat down and talked about trash night, and we agreed upon it. Once we went through this course, you know, where we learned about all of these things, and it was so cool. You know, well, does everything, you know, okay, everything's perfect right now. Since we talked about who's taking the trash out, you know, he's going to do it on Tuesdays. Well, Tuesday rolls around, and even though we talked about it, we shared it, it's now spoken to one another. We communicated and we agreed that Richard is taking the trash out. And I'm just using this as an example. Tuesday rolls around and the trash doesn't get taken out. What do I do? Well, what I do is, and this was very hard, you know, because when you want to do a new thing, you have to do the hard thing, and accept the consequences, good or bad, from your spouse, whether they're deserved or not. So what I'm saying is Tuesday rolls around, the trash doesn't get taken out. Do I run out at midnight when I'm going, getting ready to head to bed and take the trash out because we've got trash in the can that needs to be emptied? I do not. And so Wednesday morning rolls around and he can either be upset or understand why this happened and we can have a discussion about it. And that's what happened. You know, was it perfect right out the gate? No. But what I didn't do is I didn't belittle him and I didn't shame him and make him feel guilty for not getting the trash out. He knew it was not out there. He knows now the trash is overflowing, you know, and so it's a process and you have to allow that process to happen and you have to have grace and compassion towards one another. And he said, I'm sorry, I didn't get the trash out. And I'm like, yep, I know, that's okay. No big deal. We'll get it next week. And so then ultimately things play out the way that they're supposed to, because you talked about it and you spoke about it and you're not like using this manipulation card or the shame card to bring about what you want to happen in the relationship. You're allowing God to do the work in your spouse's heart. And so, and to bring maturity and humility from both of us to the conversation to realize, okay, this is a process. It's really okay. So the trash isn't taken out. No big deal. If you're just joining us and you hear me talking a lot about trash, yeah, it was a thing for us. And so just go back and listen to it. But that was a big thing for us. It was unspoken on my part. And it created a lot of bitterness and resentment in my heart towards my husband, which, what does that do? That opens the door for Satan to get in there and cause more problems. So that's what we don't want, right? We don't want to allow the enemy in there because he is just a troll trying to kill, steal, and destroy your marriage and your relationship. So, all right, I'm going to wrap this up. So just because our expectations are conscious, right, we are aware of them, just because our expectations are realistic, it means that there's evidence that they can be done. And just because we have spoken our expectations, so they're conscious, they're realistic, and they're spoken, and we're feeling real good about ourselves, right? That doesn't mean that they're valid. Why? Because you haven't taken the final step, number four, in having the conversation and getting an agreement from your spouse. That is huge. You have to have the conversation. You have to sit down. Hey, I know this is silly. I know you don't have time for this right now, but we need to talk about da 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 da. And so an expectation, listen, get this, an expectation is only valid when it's mutually agreed upon. If your expectation is not all of the above, if it's not conscious, if it's not realistic, if it's not spoken, and if it's not agreed upon, you're just in hope. You're hoping that this will happen. You're hoping that that will happen. And that's really, you know, no place to be when you've got the reality of life hits you, right? So there you have it. You need to have conversation. You need to have a mutually agreed upon expectation. So I hope you guys were blessed. I'm praying that you will. Like I said, next week we're going to discuss how to break this cycle, how to recognize it, which I'm hoping that you do, and how to break this cycle of disappointment and discouragement and bitterness and resentment with your unmet expectations. It's simple. Follow those simple steps. You know, it's not like brain surgery, you know, like the Bible. God's the Bible is simple. It's easy. It's meant to be easy. And the biggest thing is your pride. The biggest thing is you wanting to be the winner in your relationship with your spouse. And that's unholy. That's not pure. That doesn't glorify God. And so you need to come with meekness, with humility, and with Jesus at the center. And so if you don't have Jesus at the center of your heart, and you are only responsible for you, I say this so many times, you know, you can't change anybody else. Amen. The Lord does that, right? But you are not going to shame anybody. You're not going to guilt anybody into changing. All that does is make them dig their heels in deeper. So work on yourself. And if you need Jesus in your heart, I want to pray for you today, because that is where it all turned around for Pastor Richard and myself. It all turned around the day that I asked Jesus into my heart and into my life and to be my Lord and my Savior. So, but the first thing, it takes three simple steps. The first one is, I love steps because I can check them off the list, right? The first one is recognize. Romans, I believe, let's see, 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's everyone. Every one of us has fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us has sinned. And when you first recognize, like we've talked about, Pastor Richard and I, from the very beginning of doing Marriage Minute in October 2021, from the very beginning, we've talked about you can't fix, you can't allow the Lord to bring you through something you don't even know is happening and you don't even recognize. So the first is, I recognize that I'm a sinner. Once you have that recognition, you know, you may feel sorrowful. You may have some emotions there, and that's okay. The Bible calls us to repent of that. Repent means to just turn, do a 180. You're going to turn right from that sin, and you're going to repent of it. You're going to confess your sin to the Lord. He'll lead you through that, and you're going to repent of that sin. You're going to turn from that. That means you don't go back to it. You turn away from it. You do a complete 180, and you do the opposite of what you have been doing. And the last thing that you do is you receive. So you recognize, you repent, and you receive. Romans 10:9 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that's key, you will be saved. So will you commit your heart and your life to Jesus today? It is free. This is a free gift. You know, we all love free things. This is a free gift, the best free gift you're ever going to get in your life, and it will completely turn your life around for the good. Amen. Can I get a witness? So I'm going to offer up a prayer here, and I want you to know that if you say this prayer out loud with me on this broadcast, or if you're watching on a rerun, then, you know, if you say this prayer out loud, you have assurance in the Word of God that you are saved and that your eternal destiny has been changed. Hallelujah. Ooh, I'm getting excited for that. Okay. Repeat after me. Repeat this prayer out loud, would you please? Heavenly Father, I admit that I have sinned. I believe Jesus died for my sin, and he rose from the grave to give me victory over sin and death. I confess my sinfulness. I repent. Please forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and make me a new person in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer with me, welcome to the family of God. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So when you prayed that prayer with me, you called on the name of the Lord. So by the authority of God's word, you are saved. You are a new creature in Christ. You are born again. And from this moment forward, you are on your way to heaven because you have Jesus in your heart. Hallelujah. I rejoice with you. So if you prayed that prayer, just one thing before I end here that I need you to do, just go to our website at revivalnow.com. Hit that big red button right there on the front. It says, I just got saved. Fill out that information. Follow the prompts. That is just information. It comes to Pastor Richard and myself. What we do is we respond to your email and get you hooked up with some material, some videos, and things that will help you in your new journey with Jesus. Amen. So I think that's it. Go to revivalnow.com. If you have any questions about material that Pastor Richard and I are sharing, you can find us at marriageminute@revivalnow.com. So that is it for today. I love you all. I'll see you next week. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening today. Catch all of our podcasts at revivalnow.com and send us your Marriage Minute questions at marriageminute@revivalnow.com.